Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Jagow. Good morning. On August 10th, 1960, you know what movie debuted in Los Angeles?
You eat like a bird.
You know, of course.
No, not really. Anyway, I hear the expression eats like a bird. It is really a falsity. Because birds really eat a tremendous lot. But I don't really know anything about birds. My hobby is stuffing things. You know, taxidermy.
Man, Anthony Perkins was so creepy. Janet Leigh, The Bates Motel, The Master, Alfred Hitchcock, and let's not forget the music of Psycho. On August 10th, 1984, the infamous 3,000-meter race between South African barefoot runner Zola Budd and American darling Mary Decker. Budd, at the L.A. Coliseum, interferes with Decker, and the American goes down to boos from the crowd, hears the race call, and a tearful Decker afterwards.
That was the 72nd lap, so after four laps, as I thought she might, she's having a go at taking the lead. Barefooted, she's much happier barefooted, and the world champion, oh, caught her then, and this is the danger, and Decker's down! Oh, the world champion, and one of the favourites, is now flat out on the infield. And Mary Decker out of the race. And little Zola Budd may have clipped in too soon. May not have been her fault, but certainly she seemed twice there to impede Mary Decker. And the booing has started around the arena. Well, this little girl's career seems to be followed by nothing but controversies and drama as well. The golden girl of American distance running, reduced now to not even watching the race, but lying there in pain.
And she was coming in around the turn, and she wasn't anywhere near passing. And I do hold her responsible for what happened, because I don't feel that I did anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I was running a good race, a good pace, and I felt really good, and I am fit. And hopefully the injury will heal in time so I can go over to Europe and race.
Decker and Budd next met in July of 1985 for another 3,000-meter race in London. Decker won, and Budd finished fourth. After the race, the women shook hands and reconciled. On this day in 1970, Jim Morrison went on trial in Miami for lewd and lascivious behavior at one of his shows.
What we're testing down there is the issue of artistic freedom of expression, you know, and it's a significant issue, and the trial is very interesting.
You seem confident.
Right. And hopefully it'll be over in time for me to do a European tour.
Less than a year later, Morrison was in Europe in a Paris hotel room where he died at the age of 27. That is This Day in History for August 10th.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher.
Well, we are above ground. We are not in the sea, but we're still talking garden. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I have two people here who have been here before, a couple of experts from Horseman Brothers, Jeff Kendall and Robert Effinger. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks for being back.
Good to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell me what's going on. Well, first, let me give out the hotline number, 314-436-7900. There's also an 800 number. You have to dial the 1-800-925-1120. Again, 314-436-7900. Any breaking news in the gardening world I should know about? Jeff?
Well, Scott, you know, nothing really breaking, but this is a really busy time for us at Horstman Brothers. We're gearing up this time of year. A lot of things are really coming together. We're getting ready to start our fall turf renovation season, which is key. We have about a six-week window or maybe 2 months there to get that fully done. And it's a lot of work. It's a big part of our business with aerating, seeding, different things to get the lawns looking their best. Also very busy for gardening and trimming, pruning. A lot of weeds this year, you know, a lot of weeds with all the rain we've had and stuff. And Robert can help me. You know, he's very busy with landscaping and hardscaping right now. So
yeah, but there's a lot of stuff you can do in the garden right now. Pruning, deadheading your perennials, and cleaning out the old leaves and stuff. But things are blooming pretty good right now. The black-eyed Susans are really pretty. The hydrangeas are doing really good right now. But with all the rain and the warm weather, gardens are looking pretty good.
And this is like the perfect gardening weekend because the weather could not be better for mid-August.
Oh,
I mean, good grief.
Yeah.
You just have to thank the stars or whoever for this, because what a weekend we're getting after 100-degree stretches this summer. I mean, it really, honestly, though, has not been a bad summer in terms of the heat. We've had some stretches, and they've been really brutal, but like last summer was way worse. We had long stretches that started in April. So what's the difference when you get a summer that like this versus last summer? How does that affect things?
One thing I've really noticed, Scott, is just the changes in the summer. You know, we had a very good, nice spring, you know, and actually had kind of a spring this year. It didn't get too hot too quick. But then June hit and it was very warm. And also very dry, you know, and then we, you know, a lot of people had to really concentrate or think about starting to water and doing that stuff. And then now, you know, then July hit and we actually had abundant moisture, to say the least. So and then just recently we've kind of started to dry out again a little bit. So, you know, I've noticed yesterday and had to talk to several clients that they need to really start watering again. You know, I mean, the grass especially and the flowers, you know, need a little extra boost right now. But all in all, it has. It's been a great growing season. I mean, it's just evident by how much all the, like I said, the shrubs have grown a lot and trees and, you know, the grass keeps growing. It's just been a growing kind of season this year.
Now, we're getting towards fall, though. What do you have to think about if you have a garden for fall? Fall is kind of an active time for gardening,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's when you start planting things. Now, actually, get ready and start getting ready for your fall vegetables, too. This is the time to get those started and get those in the ground pretty soon. And for your vegetable gardens, now is a good time to clean everything out. Get all the old dead out of your gardens and get things all kind of ready for the fall.
Well, and fall vegetables.
Fall vegetables.
What are fall? What, name some.
Kale.
Okay.
Broccoli, and you know, some of those.
So those are things that will grow and be able to eat in the fall.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, those are good, because, you know, most people think of spring into the summer, you get your tomatoes out and whatever, but fall vegetables, those are nice. They might go into some soups.
So, you know, Scott, fall's also a very great time for planting shrubs and trees, you know, and if you can get them in early in the fall, you know, it's excellent. They still have warm soil, they root in well, and they're really usually come in great condition to go through the winter and look really good the next, you know, spring.
Yeah, I like fall planting a lot better than spring planting.
I agree.
A lot of shrubs, because they get their roots growing in the winter and stuff, and they're pretty well established by the time spring and summer come along. So you have to do less watering, actually, to get them going. So fall is really a great time to, if you guys are thinking about planting, now's a good time to get that
So you go ahead and start now? I mean, you go ahead and plant them now?
Yeah, well, at the end of August, September-ish, but now's a good time to get it all planned out, you know, get where you want to get, you know, get a design together, and so you're all ready to go for early fall planting, yeah.
All right. Robert and Jeff are our experts this morning. We are in a live show. Last week we had a rerun for several reasons, but we're back. We're live. It's the Garden Hotline. The number is 314-436-7900. And John, you are up first. Good morning.
Well, thank you. I just had a question in regards to watering. I have an oscillating sprinkler that goes 180 degrees. I was just wondering, when is the best time to water? How long should I water? And how often?
Are you talking lawn or your plantings?
No, I have no plantings whatsoever. I just have a beautiful lawn.
There you go, Jeff.
Well, John, you know, watering the lawn, traditionally the answer is to water it in the early morning, you know, so that does several things for you. You might, if you develop any kind of fungal activity over the nighttime hours, if you water early in the morning, it will help cleanse off the fungus spores. Also, you know, it's cooler and the ground receives the water and the plants can then absorb it and take it up better if we do that early in the morning, or, you know, late night, early into early morning. It'd be the preferred time to water the grass. You know, if it's exceptionally hot, sometimes, you know, you may have to just go ahead and water, you know, during the day. But normally, if we can water in the morning, that's the safest thing to do. As far as the how often, you know, a lot of that actually does depend on the weather conditions, you know, how the humidity levels are, how things are really drying out. General rule of thumb for cool season grasses, that's fescue and bluegrass basically here in St. Louis, if you do 2 to 3 times a week, and when you water, you want to water thoroughly, you know, like an oscillator, like you're saying. I would think a half hour, you know, per area would be adequate, 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the temperature. If it's really hot, like, you know, 95 and 100 kind of degrees, you know, you may need to add a fourth day to the schedule for the week.
We're going to get a rule of thumb about 1 inch per week. If you can put a coffee can out there and measure it, but you want to get about 1 inch a week on your lawn.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it as well. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. Jeff and Robert taking your questions this morning. After the break, I will give you a positive update on Mike Miller. We are back on the Garden Hotline. We have a couple of guys from Horseman Brothers, experts to answer your questions this morning. We are live, and the number is 314-436-7900. Before we get back to the phones and Jeff and Robert, let me give you an update. Tracy Miller has given us an update on the GoFundMe page for Mike Miller, which is Mike's Epilepsy, and it's a positive one. The latest from this week says that Mike is now using his walker more and going farther. He's also doing more exercises on his own. I mean, he's been 6 months of immobility. He's getting strength back. He does extra walking around his building and leg exercises on his own. His balance is getting better. She says he still has a ways to go to get to walk on his own, but that's probably the most positive update we've had in a while, and we appreciate Tracy letting people know. They are still trying to raise some funds for his medical care and mortgage and all the expenses you have in everyday life. So if you can contribute, I'm sure Mike and Tracy would appreciate it. It is GoFundMe, and it's Mike's Epilepsy is what you need to search for. So there's that update. Now let's get to the questions. Sue, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and I'm so glad Mike is showing improvement. My mother and I listened to him when I was a little girl in Illinois, and we're still listening. This is something. Anyway, glad he's improving. My question is, my husband has an above-ground garden, and he has planted what we thought was a butternut squash, and in little buckets around, he put a few zucchinis. All of a sudden, we have these two giant vegetables. I'm talking 2 feet long, a little wider on each end than the middle, and they're green with some striping. We absolutely do not know what's going on and are curious. The neighbors are going crazy. This vine is on a trellis. We put the butternut, and we did this last year and had beautiful butternut squashes. It's on a trellis, a wire trellis. It's at least 8 foot tall, and it's surpassed that and could go forever. But any comments on what this might be? Do you think the seed was the wrong seed?
That is a good question, but
it's something.
What do they look like? Cucumbers?
Well, if you could call, he's thinking 40 pounds right now.
Oh my gosh.
40 pounds?
Yes.
You have a new vegetable to grow. Bottle that.
And we don't know. He's researched, of course. You know, you Google, and the last was saying maybe a pumpkin. It's the silliest pumpkin I've ever saw, to be green with some striping. And there's two that are this very, very large, but it has bloomed like crazy. And he said there's at least 10 more that could produce if we let it go on. We do have a lawn sprinkler, so they get plenty of water in the morning. And I said, we just don't know.
You have a rogue squash. I don't know what that would be, to be honest with you.
I mean, there are some, you know, exotic pumpkins, you know, that have different coloration and stripes. I don't know. What about gourd? Could it be some type of gourd?
That's no indication. That's what I sort of thought to begin. It has no indication of that smaller neck, you know, with the, it seems to be wider on each end than the center. And it's not a real obvious thing. It's kind of like you look at it and you think, this is one huge watermelon, but it certainly wasn't planted as that.
Well, we have a mystery on our hands, guys.
The hard part of radio, I think we're not looking at it either. So.
Well, the other part, the other thing was I did Google, and you know, it gives you that automatic search, like terms that are been searched for recently, and strange large green vegetable with stripes came up. So
well, that's what you got.
Yeah, maybe it was her. Yeah. Maybe it was Sue's Google function, but somebody else probably was searching for this. So I don't think you're alone.
Well, if any of your listeners have any ideas, we wondered if we would contact the extension offices or something. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, send them a picture of it.
Yes, we have. I told him to enter in the fair, and he may receive a grand prize or something.
You may get a new vegetable named after you.
Category.
Well, you know, that was also a thing. These things can mutate. And we don't want to eat anything. Something about it might be the most delicious pumpkin-type fruit you've ever had. Well, we don't want to experiment and eat it. And
it's a poisonous mushroom.
Right. Give it to your neighbor and let them try it.
Don't do that.
Well, anyway, I wanted to pass this along.
Okay.
And any information from anybody would be appreciated, and it's very unusual.
Okay. I was looking this up. Have you ever heard of a chayote or a chayote?
No.
That is coming up looking sort of what she's describing. It looks like a huge bell pepper is what it looks like. Chayote. It's a vegetable or chayote. I guess you can cook these. It's an edible plant belonging to the gourd family. It was first cultivated in Mesoamerica between southern Mexico and Honduras. I don't know.
How do you spell that? And we'll look that up.
Okay, it's chayote.
Chayote. Okay, we'll
it's kind of ugly.
Well, this isn't the prettiest thing.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we do have some green peppers planted down there, and they didn't do very well this year. So.
Well, it says you can eat chayote. I'm just going by that pronunciation now because it looks like coyote. All right. Well, thanks, Sue, for the call. Hopefully, maybe somebody else will call in and give us some background on maybe they have the same situation going on. All right. So, in fact, we might have a call right now. Christy, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm also glad to hear that Mike is doing better. I really miss him. I wanted to tell Sue that I often have things in my garden that come up, and they must volunteer from the compost pile, and I have no idea what they are. I use an app that you can get through the app store on your phone called PlantNet, PlantNet, and you just take a photograph of it, and then it goes to a bunch of, like, databases, and it will identify for you what they think it is.
Well, that's interesting. PlantNet.
There you go.
That's a good tool. Yeah, because it's kind of like crowdsourcing.
Yeah, there's another one called Picture This.
And it's free. That's even better. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thanks for calling in, Christy. We appreciate the tip. PlantNet. I guess it's sort of like crowdsourcing for plants. So you post your photo, and then probably other people have seen something similar in their garden, and they might say, oh, I know that. We have that. So, every single time I do this show, there's always a theme. So I am proclaiming the theme today to be mystery vegetables.
There you go.
We've had zoysia, we've had cicadas, we've had all kinds of different themes, and today it's going to be mystery vegetables. So let us know, 314-436-7900. If you have a question about a mystery vegetable, let us know. Any other questions about your garden are fine, too. With Robert and Jeff from Horseman Brothers, we're going to continue on the Garden Hotline in just a moment. Good morning. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Robert and Jeff are here from Horseman Brothers to take your calls this morning. Lots of questions. Let's get back to the phones at 314-436-7900, and we will start with Ryan. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate your service. I've got three. I believe they're Norway spruce trees that I planted probably 6 years ago. They've grown up very nicely. They're kind of grown together. But about a month ago, just one of them died. And so I guess the question is maybe why did that one wasn't able to make it? And then also just about replanting that tree, when we should do it, and how to go about that process.
When it died, did it die like real quick?
It did. Yeah. It probably died in about a week.
Yeah. You either got a bug in there, you know, or it could have been a root issue.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Root rot will make it die, but it could have been, what do you think, Jeff, a bug, that a mite, or a...
You know, well, I mean, with the Norway spruce and you know, the weather we've had and so forth, that, you know, the mites could be a possibility. You would probably see some evidence of that, you know, webbing on the needles, and you know, if you shake it, you see little bugs. That could be a possibility. There are a couple fungal diseases that are a problem. But they're normally more of a gradual decline and thinning out, and then finally kind of the death stage. So I'm not sure it would be one of those. Like Robert said, I don't know. Is it possible that this particular plant is in a maybe a little lower environment and it holds a little more water? Possibly that could always be a problem.
Gotcha. The other two are perfectly healthy. They look great. This one actually sits a little bit higher in the landscaping than the other two. But obviously, we want to make sure that, you know, if it's some type of disease or whatever, it doesn't get to the other two.
Yeah, when you pull that old one out, check and see if there's water sitting in that root ball hole. And then you can improve the drainage there when you put a newer one in. And make sure you plant them high. You got to plant those trees really high. You have that shoulder of that ball sitting up out of the ground and bring the soil up to it.
Okay. And then the best time to remove that, I guess I could remove it any time, the dead one, and then to replant a new one?
Yeah, this fall. Mid-September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. October, November, even early November. Like we were saying earlier, if you can do it earlier in the fall and keep it moist and hydrated, then it will root out, and you know you'll have better odds of it doing well through the winter and looking good next spring.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Let's go now to Doug. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I had a question for you guys about my creeping phlox. I have like four tiers, and it creeps down from one tier to the other. Always looks beautiful come Easter. Just looks gorgeous. But this year I've noticed that it's browning up on the lower tier, and it actually looks like it's dying. Does creeping phlox, what is it? Because it's 5-6 years old. Could that be it, that it's just dying out? Now, it does have runners that are a good... Where it creeps out, that's a good foot long or 18 inches long. Is that too long? I don't know, but I noticed the lower tier's dying.
Well, you know, I think one issue might be if it's down on the lower end, and, you know, we've had recently these heavy rains and so forth, that could be part of the problem. Phlox, you know, if you look at it, it's a great rock garden kind of plant, right? And it likes like a lot of things, if you read about it or study, you know, it likes a loamy, sandy, well-drained soil. So I don't know, maybe that lower level might be a little more, you know, clay and holding a little too much water, possibly would be one.
That would be one, my suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah. There's no rock. There's no rock in there at all. This is just all dirt.
Yeah.
But how long does a creeping phlox plant live? Do you know?
You know, I mean, I've seen, you know, clients that have had it for, you know, years and years and years. It's a good perennial. I've got one. I don't have a lot, but I have some that I planted years ago. And, you know, amazingly, every winter it gets eaten down by the deer. So I don't get, you know, I don't get the nice bloom that you want. But like today, it's fully recovered after being almost disappeared, you know, gone.
Okay, I'll just try letting it go and see if, because every spring it's just beautiful and it's such a, you know, a big area of it, and it's really neat looking, but I guess I can let it go till spring and see, and if it doesn't come back as good, then try to do something.
One thing you could do also is really look at it closely and see if there isn't any telltale, you know, like on that foliage, it's starting to turn brown. Does it maybe have, look at it for maybe an insect of some kind, a small mite or something. The other thing would be if there's like a lot of little, maybe, you know, if it's like a dead light brown color, but if there's darker brown, you know, dots on it, that could indicate some kind of possible, you know, fungal type problem that it might be having. But I do wonder if it isn't just that lower level maybe got a little too wet this summer.
Well, we had a lot of water, and the water comes, it's a hillside, so it drains down there, and I'm sure it pulls up at the bottom there too. So
it's probably it.
Go ahead.
It's probably the water. That's what we would suggest.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Doug. Appreciate the call. Let's go next to Jill. You're on the Garden Hotline with Robert and Jeff.
Hi there. I have a question about timing and planting. I think you've addressed a little bit of it. I'm leaving on a trip in 5 weeks, and I'm going to be planting some perennials and also a pretty good-sized hydrangea bush, like the white kind that you plant in the full sun. And I'm just trying to decide, thinking about planting it today. We've bought the stuff already, so that we can kind of monitor the watering, you know, while until we leave in the 5 weeks, or we could wait until we get back from the trip. We're more in the time frame that you said, like the end of September. But then I'm just wondering if the things we bought would, you know, kind of be root bound by then, or is it better to get things going? Because when we're gone, I mean, I can hire somebody to come occasionally and water, but I'd kind of rather be overseeing that myself. Well, what would you do?
You know, if you're going to be gone, you're going to be 5 weeks before you leave, I'd get them in the ground now, you know,
okay.
because we are getting this cooler temperatures and
right.
And then get some starter fertilizer, you know, get
yep.
some fertilizer with it. There's some good organic fertilizers out there, but get them in the ground now and they can, they'll start going. And that way they're not sitting in pots for forever. And, you know,
right. Okay. Good. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Can I ask one more question about
yes.
leaving? So the last time we went on a trip, I put my pots. I have some nice sized pots. I put them all together on my back deck and set up a sprinkler on a timer to water them every day. And I never quite, they didn't do great, but I wasn't sure. Like just sort of a rule of thumb of how long I should have run that sprinkler. And I tried different things where I set a dish out, like practice, you know, like how much water should be in the dish to let me know that was probably enough, you know. But in the end, I didn't give myself enough time to practice before we left. What do you think about that idea? And how long would you set up a sprinkler, or how much water would you think should be in a dish to kind of give me an idea?
Well, that would depend on how big your pots are, for one.
Yeah, they're pretty good size, like maybe the 2.5 foot tall kind that are maybe like a foot wide. And then, you know, they've got, you know, several things planted in them.
Right. Well, that would be, you know, we said earlier about the 1 inch per week rule of thumb on lawns and stuff. You would need more.
Yeah.
For those pots, because they're above ground, so they're going to dry out a lot, you know, quicker. So I would, you know, whatever you had before, double it.
Okay.
If that would help.
I think I ran it for 4 minutes before, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I would run it for longer than that, definitely. I would go at least 10. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Thanks for all the advice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We appreciate the call this morning on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. Our experts this morning are from Horstman Brothers. That is Jeff and Robert, and they are going to continue taking your questions in just a moment.
Summer is here, and St. Louis Composting is ready to assist you with your summertime lawn and garden projects. We can help you energize your shrubs and flower beds with a nutrient-rich, STA-certified compost, or provide you with the perfect blend of compost and topsoil, like our Topsoil Plus or Garden Mix. St. Louis Composting has the
beautiful Saturday morning in St. Louis. Sunny skies, temperatures in the mid-60s. It's August. What the heck is going on? I love it. It's a good time to talk garden, though, because fall is coming. We're getting a little taste of fall, and fall is a good planting time. Lots of activity in the garden in fall. I'm sure you have some questions this morning, and we have some answers with Robert and Jeff from Horstman Brothers, and the phone number is 314-436-7900, and the next question comes from Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a desert rose adenium. It's new for me this year. I bought a couple of them. They flowered. They look beautiful. They're green, but I'm getting these 2.5-inch, like, green spikes that are tapered at the end growing from them. Is that normal for that plant?
Mike, I'm not really familiar again. What is it? What was the
plant?
It's called a desert rose adenium, ADENIUM.
I don't know. Robert?
No, well, that's that spike on there, on some roses, it's a disease called rosette, but I don't think you're going to have that.
No, this is kind of a like a bonsai type desert plant that doesn't take anything less than under 50 degrees, and it's
right.
Very hot conditions. You know,
oh, this is just a little indoor type plant.
Yeah, and you put them out in the summer because they like the dry, hot, intense heat like we've been having, you know.
Right, right. I'm to be honest with you, I'm not real familiar with them.
Okay.
But they look pretty, though.
Yeah, they do. I'm looking at them right now, and it's kind of like a cactusy type thing, right?
Right, exactly.
Like a thick leafed.
Yeah, it's called Desert Rose, so I assume it. They say once you pot it, you don't have to change it. It just continues growing like a bonsai, you know, and producing. So,
but that growth on it, you could just prune that back if you wanted to, you know, keep it more compact.
Well, I'm more interested in whether it's supposed to have those or it's got some problems, you know. But they're green and not turning brown or anything, so I assume it's part of the plant, this being a new plant for me. I got two of them.
Right, so, right. Yeah. But I would let that grow and see what it does. It might be sending up a new bud for a flower.
I just was wondering... I need to get hold of people I bought them from and see if they have an opinion on that. I haven't been able to, but I appreciate your information anyhow. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That's a good question. Those are pretty flowers. I want to get some of those myself. Would those be considered succulents?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Interesting. Desert Rose Adenium Hybrid. Adenium. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Let's get to Maureen. You're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, I might have an answer for the mystery caller with the squash from earlier.
Ooh.
There, if you Google long Italian squash, it'll come up, and it's called a caguzzi. It's C-U-C-U-Z-Z-A, and it's similar to a zucchini. You can cook it, you know, basically like you would a zucchini. They can be 2, 3, 4 feet long. Hmm. Yeah, so maybe that's it.
Yeah, and it's a great name, too.
Yeah.
Cucuza Gaputza Serpentine. It's got like 10 names, 10 words in the name.
Yeah, it does have a lot of names. Or Gaguzzi. I've heard people say it Gaguzzi or Kaguzzi.
Yeah.
And they say it like with an I at the end, Kaguzzi, but it has an A. So, but anyway, yeah.
Maybe it.
That might be the.
You might be onto something here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the photo and it does look like what she described.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? It's so
and they're huge.
Yeah,
you have to eat an army.
So have you eaten them?
Yeah, I was given one once. And it's kind of like a zucchini, but a little different. It's not like a dense fleshed one like a butternut. It's more like a zucchini kind of flesh.
And it looks like it gets real big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge.
That's
long gourd.
I bet that's what that is.
I had like a 4 foot tall one.
Wow.
So yeah. Okay, well, that's all I had.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. That is really good information, actually. And I think it might be exactly what she was describing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Yeah. Bye. So it's a Cucuza Gaguzza. I mean, this is awesome. These names.
Man, I'm learning a lot today.
When I first started putting it in Google, it was long Italian name. That's what first came up. But then I did squash, and we got the picture of the Cucuza Gaputska Serpent de Sicilia. I really do think that might be what it is, though. It looks exactly like what she described.
Right, it does.
Like a huge zucchini with on tapered ends and stripes.
And stripes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well. We may have solved the mystery this morning.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. I'm planting some perennials. Got the whole dug, twice the size. What should I, it's all clay. What should I backfill with?
Get a garden mix. Get a garden mix. Yeah. A good garden mix with some sphagnum peat moss. And some organics in them, but I would get a good and mix it with that clay. You know, you don't have clay's not bad, really, to be honest with you. It's got nutrients, but mix make sure that when you get peat moss, it's the sphagnum peat moss, not the hard clay peat moss, because that'll make it nice and loose and
right.
Help, you know, and you can add a little gypsum in there too, But I would get a good garden, you know, everybody sells a good garden mix.
Yep. Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Appreciate the help.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Greg. Joyce, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a tip for all of my fellow gardeners out there regarding
mites on evergreens and even anything that's in your flower beds. And I've been doing this for years. If you'll take just baby shampoo, any store brand shampoo or baby shampoo will be fine. And I really don't have a ratio, but I mix a mixture of baby shampoo and water in my whole thing sprayer and spray everything, absolutely everything. Hmm. And I have never had mites on my evergreens or anything in my flower beds that have bothered the plants. And it's just that. It's simple. It's all natural. And again, I've been doing this for years, and it works. So anyway, that's my tip to my fellow gardeners about the insects. But the second thing is regarding the theme of today's show is mysterious plants. We, in the spring, had bought several things from one of the big box stores and planted them. They were doing fine. Everything was going well, and there were a couple of mysterious plants mixed in with them, which was no big deal. They were beautiful and green. And so as the weeks went along, one of my neighbors, who's a retired police officer, was walking and stopped to chat, and he said, Joyce, what is that you have growing in the flower bed? And I said, oh, you know what? I think it's a fern of some kind. I don't know what it is, but it's doing beautifully. Well, long story short, to the mysterious part, it was a marijuana plant. And I said, I didn't know what to say. I said, are you sure? Because, you know, I didn't plant that. Turns out that's exactly what it was. Hmm. And he said, probably what happened was from the big box store somewhere along that chain, there had gotten some seed mixed in with the plants that we had purchased. And that's how the mystery plant came to be.
Interesting. Hey, it's legal in Missouri now.
That's right.
Legal in Illinois. It's legal. Yeah. All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. Joyce, thanks for your phone call. The number is 314-436-7900. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline. We'll continue with your questions for Robert and Jeff from Horseman Brothers after a short break. Stay tuned.
Yeah, one of those.
We are back on the Garden Hotline. I am happy to be joined this morning by Robert Effinger and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, talking about gardening, answering your questions as we get into mid-August with this beautiful weather. A little bit unseasonable. I mean, usually it's warmer than this, but we're enjoying it, obviously. I'm sure we're going to get walloped by another heat wave at some point, hopefully only one more before we get into fall. But lots of stuff going on in the fall, lots of activity around gardening. So I'm sure you have a question or two to ask us. The number is 314-436-7900. I do want to give, again, an update on Mike Miller because Tracy, his wife, posted one this week. It's a positive update. He is using his walker more, and he's going further distances. He's doing exercises on his own. He's been immobile, basically, for 6 months, but he's getting more strength back. He's doing physical therapy and then doing some extra work on his own. His balance is getting better. He still has a ways to go, she says, to get to walk on his own, but he is improving, so that's good news. And you can find out more information and donate to their goal at GoFundMe, and it's Mike's Epilepsy. So there's an update on Mike Miller. I know everyone is always wanting to hear those. So that's the latest. All right, let's get back to the phones. Don, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hello,
Don. I don't think we have a good connection there, Drew. We may have to have him call back. Don, if you want to call back, we'll try again. The number is 314-436-7900. During the news, I was mentioning the drought and the state fair. Any thoughts on the drought and how that's impacted the growing season this year? I mean, the fact that we've had actually decent rain is what I meant.
Well, it's very, you know, from a landscaping standpoint, it's very, you know, positive that we aren't in a drought this year. You know, I think sometimes, too, that drought, like they were saying, 2 years in a row, that's a cumulative event, you know, and that can lead to, who knows, the gentleman that called earlier about the spruce tree, Ryan. You know, it could be that tree was stressed out for 2 years and, you know, it's just finally kind of had enough or, you know, its roots shriveled up a lot or, and then all of a sudden it's too much water or who knows. But you know, that cycle of too much and too little, you know, is tough on everything, really. But it is nice to see everything so green. I got to admit, I think it's about as green in August as I remember, Robert.
I was driving down 40 the other day and just I couldn't believe how green everything was. And
Green is good.
It is. Green is good.
Well, yeah. we've had an interesting show so far in that we've gotten a couple of mysterious vegetable questions. And one of them, our caller gave information that I think might have solved the mystery. So it's not unsolved mysteries on the Garden Hotline. It's solved mysteries.
That's right. That's right.
We think that the vegetable in question, it was described as long and tapered at both ends with stripes and being a green vegetable. And the answer, we think, is the Cucuza gacuzza, Italian long gourd, which is incredible just because of its name. And we also had thought it might be in the gourd family.
Right.
So,
right. I think she got it.
I think she did.
It. Yeah.
I'm going to give her a ding. All right. Up next is Bill on the Garden Hotline.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Yes. I've had a section of my yard sodded back in June. And fortunately, we had all that good rain, so it's came in pretty well. My question is about the maintenance of it. Do I need to be overseeding it or fertilizing it?
Is it sod, you said?
Sod, yeah.
Yeah, I would aerate this year, definitely. Aeration for new sodded lawns is kind of key the first couple of years because it really helps get those roots down deeper in. When you sod lawns and you're watering a lot, those roots tend to stay up in that top zone. It doesn't really get real deep. And so when you aerate, that really helps get those roots a little deeper into the ground. So it's kind of key to aerate your sod for the first couple of years.
Bill, the other thing is definitely think about getting at least 2 good doses of fertilizer on that sod this fall. You know, one earlier and one a little later, even like early November.
What kind of fertilizer?
You know, normally you want to use, like right now, I would go with just a mid-number nitrogen, maybe just a touch of the phosphorus, and then, you know, a little higher K or potassium is really good, too. That helps develop the sod nicely. And then, you know, later on, just a good winterizer type fertilizer that you buy and later in the fall.
Throw some numbers at me for reference, 12, 12, 12.
Well, 12, 12, 12 would, you know, that probably wouldn't hurt it this year for, you know, the first dose, you know. In general, you know, like heading into the last application there, you know, you might be really, it's more about giving it a little higher dose of nitrogen. And so you might even use a product that's in the upper teens or low 20s, you know, it might, and probably doesn't have much phosphorus. And then again, some potassium, you know, that's the main thing though, is that the cool season grass, which is what you have, right? I mean, is it fescue sod? I'm guessing, or
yeah, it's locally grown.
Okay. But I mean, it's not zoysia, correct?
No, I'd say so.
Okay. All right, so yeah, the cool season grasses need to be fertilized heavy in the fall, you know, and then they store the fertilizer in the roots, and it's there as the spring hits. It's ready to grow and does a nice job, and then you don't have to feed it quite as much in the early spring, which creates a lot of unnecessary surge, you know, growth when you heavy feed it in the spring.
So you said 2 feedings, one maybe as late as end of October, early November. When would be a good idea time to do the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Right now or early September would be great.
Okay. All right.
Well, but just maybe plant it about, 5 to 6 weeks apart. Yeah, should work. Okay. Yep.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks. Thank you, Bill, for the phone call. We appreciate it. It is 314-436-7900. Robert and Jeff are answering your questions. They are from the Horstman Brothers. They've been on the show before. They know the deal. All right, well, stay tuned. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. You are listening to the Garden Hotline on a beautiful Saturday morning in St. Louis. I'm Scott Jagow, joined happily by Jeff Kendall and Robert Effinger of Horstman Brothers. They are experts in the field of turf care and lawn care and gardening, and they're answering your questions this morning. And the number, if you want to get in on the action, is 314-436-7900. Next up is Pat. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a very aggressive, I'm pretty sure it's a weed, in my lawn. It's it sends out these long lines of weed with these little tiny, it's really not a blade of grass, but it looks kind of like a short blade of grass, and the distance between these little things are probably an inch or two. So it's not like a clump of grass, but it's a vine-like, and it's invading everywhere, our garden, our landscaping. I've tried to nuke it. It just doesn't go away. I don't know what else to do.
Hey, Pat, so is this, it's kind of like long and stringy, and then on the stem, are there lots of little leaves?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably spurge would be my guess of what you're describing. It's a common broadleaf weed, and it's a summer weed, it just recently has really started to take off. What have you sprayed it with? It usually will, it will respond to herbicide, spray.
I've used concentrated Roundup on it along our landscaping cobblestones to keep it from invading into the landscaping. But I'll kill it, but it comes back within, I would say, 4 weeks, maybe not even that long, maybe just 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so if it is a spurge that I'm talking about, it is a very prolific seed producer, and it comes back, it doesn't need a whole year to come back. I mean, it's regerminating, so there's additional seeds that are probably in the soil. That would be my most... I think that is what you're describing, but could be it's not a grassy blade, right? Or like, it doesn't look like a grass, right?
It's long and skinny. It's about an inch long, and it's skinny. And what it does is, like, the vine sends roots down all along it, so then they take off from there as well.
That could be, Robert was mentioning, and it sounds like maybe, again, I wish I was looking at a picture, but it sounds like it could be Bermuda grass. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
Okay.
What it is.
You may want to look that up. I would on your phone, Google the Bermuda grass or the spotted spurge. Those would be two common low, stringy kind of weeds that we're seeing a lot of right now, and see about that. Now, the Roundup should work, especially on the Bermuda grass, but it is very, very aggressive, like you said earlier, and it'll come back. If you don't get a thorough kill, it'll be back.
Lawn as well.
You probably have Bermuda grass, yeah, and that's a I mean, that's very invasive. They do have Bermuda, you know, grass herbicides that are specifically for that, but I would, you know, identify it first.
Okay, well, I will move in that direction and see what I can get, because it's going to take over our entire yard in a minute here. So thank you, though, for your information.
Mm-hmm. You could call our office at Horstman Brothers, Pat, you know, and if you want to somebody come out and take a look at it, we could do that for you, as long as you're local here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I am. I'm up in Florissant. So thank you, though. I will reach out to you, and maybe you guys can take care of it for me. So
there you go. All right, Pat, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Ellen, you are up next on the Garden Hotline with Robert and Jeff.
Okay, I have a volunteer pumpkin in a small area of a flower bed, and it has gotten quite large, and I have several small pumpkins on it. I was wondering if I can cut the end of the vine off, or would that kill the whole plant?
Just cut the, you want to cut the pumpkin out?
No, I wouldn't, so that it doesn't keep growing into the yard.
Oh yeah, you can trim that back, and it won't kill the plant. Just, you know, trim back the leader.
Okay.
Yeah, that will have no effect on it.
Because I have about 5 small pumpkins on there. I don't think I need to let all of them grow till Halloween, but might use it as squash earlier.
Right, and then if you want to take a couple of them off, and that'll send more energy to the other ones.
Okay. Just wondering. I didn't want to kill it because it's a very sturdy.
Yeah, as long as you don't cut it back by the root, you'll be okay.
No, I won't do that.
Yeah, just, okay. Just cut that leader off. You'll be okay.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh.
All right. Nice to have a question about pumpkins in August.
Right.
Dave, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I have had a couple trees cut and the roots ground out and removed. And I thought I did a pretty good job of getting all the wood out. And then I brought in some dirt and I tried to grow grass over it. And then I did it early in the spring and the grass came up and then it all died. And then it just, I couldn't get hardly anything to grow. And I need to know what I can do to help. But what I tried doing is taking some plugs of zoysia and putting them in the dirt. That was just about 3 weeks ago. And, I mean, am I going to have a permanent bare spot, or do I need to put more grass seed on in the fall, and maybe that would help with cooler weather, or need some ideas?
Dave, what I would probably suggest is if you could remove the top 3 or 4 inches of that soil that has what's left of the stump grindings, if you could just remove that and replace it with some good quality topsoil and reseed it or plug it. Zoysia, if you're plugging zoysia, you need to be doing that pretty quick, you know, before the end of September for sure. But if you were seeding, you could do it, you know, September into early October.
Well, I did remove several inches, and then I brought in dirt.
Yeah.
And evidently, I didn't do a very good job. But,
I mean, when you look at it, is there still a lot of those wood shavings in the ground? Or
No. I've got dirt on top of it.
Wow.
There may be some sawdust in it, you know. Yeah. I mean,
How often are you watering that with the new plugs or seeds or how?
Maybe once a week or so.
Yeah, that may not be enough, certainly, if it was. Okay. Either way, you know.
What about if I got some, like, a Miracle-Gro topsoil? And then kind of blended it in there with it, because I've been thinking about doing that. Maybe
any organic would be great. You know, if you can get, you know, incorporate that in there. But you know, fall seeding is definitely better than spring seeding. You're always going to be tough doing a spring seeding on a bare ground, because
yeah, and then in the spring it came up good.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
it started fading, yeah, and it got the pale green.
Yeah,
and then it turned brown, and then and that's it. You know,
yeah. I do a good incorporate some good organic in there, and then do a fall seeding, and you should have better luck with it.
Would like a fertilizer help? Like a grass? I mean, you know, yeah.
Put a starter fertilizer in with it, and on. You know, if you go to one of the box stores, it'll say starter fertilizer. You know, a 12-12 is a good one.
I'll try getting some grass seed in it, I guess, pretty quick, or wait till 1st of September. Or?
Well, if it's brown now, you could do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. Good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. We are going to continue with your phone calls and questions at 314-436-7900 for Robert and Jeff from the Horseman Brothers after a short break. So stay with us. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Good morning. Glad to have you in. Taking your questions are Robert and Jeff from the Horseman Brothers. Let's get back to the phones. It's 314-436-7900. Kathy, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for doing the show. I have a question about lavender. I need to know when I should cut it back. It needs to be shaped and cut.
What do you guys think?
You actually, is it getting real big and leggy right now?
Yeah, it's getting out of shape.
so it's a hardy plant, so you can really cut that back now if you want to start cleaning it up a little bit, and it's probably getting real stringy and stuff at the bottom.
Right.
You can start cleaning that up now. And it's early enough still. It may send up some more shoots, too.
Or should I wait till all the shoots? Well, see, it's still got some on there.
Well, you know what? You could maybe clean up some of the bottom branches that are kind of getting...
Okay, that's mainly... Yeah,
yeah, just kind of clean up the bottom of it, and then, you know, leave that upper growth going for a little while. But, yeah, if it's unsightly and stuff, yeah, you can clean that back up now.
Okay, another question, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have irises. I used to call these ones, the tall ones, flags, but they call them irises.
Right.
But, okay, then I have some that I got that are called rebloomers.
Mm-hmm.
And so now those, they say, I don't ever cut the leaves back on those because they're going to rebloom for me.
Right, right.
So now they're getting, one's getting over, you know, too many of them. So I need to thin those out. And so I'm wondering, I know I have to wait till after they bloom in the fall. I guess that they would be treated just like an iris then, right?
Right, yeah. Don't do anything to them now, yeah. Yeah.
Wait
on them now.
When they finish blooming, but it will be late because they usually don't start reblooming until the end of almost September and August, you know.
Right, but I would just let those go. I don't think I would mess with those right now, those rebloomers.
No, well, that's what I mean. Do you ever thin them out? Or
absolutely. And that good time for that would be spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you can, because they're so, they sit up on the ground so high.
Well, they bloom again in spring for me, though, so.
Well, you can still separate them. I mean, early spring, like.
Right, when they start coming up.
Yeah, before they start coming up.
They're always up. I mean, the leaves, how can I say this? I never, you know how you always cut back the iris and make them.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I don't do that to these at all.
No, but if you wanted to separate them, you're going to have to do it at some point, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then you would cut the leaves off and then separate like you do
that. Yeah, and then they'll come back up. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to take all your time, but do you know anything about a perennial geranium that I put in the ground? And it's beautiful in the spring, but it never reflowers again after that.
No, they don't. No, that they're just a one-timer. Yeah. And then the perennial geranium will only bloom the one time, and then it'll save its energy for next year. But, yeah, they only bloom the one time. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good questions. Good answers there. And let's continue with the phone calls at 314-436-7900. It's always nice to have a rose on a garden show. Rose, you're up next.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Two questions real fast. When can I have a crepe myrtle, huge. I've had it for over 10 years. Can I dig that up in the spring and just move it 5 feet over one way, and will it still live?
Rose, you know, yes, spring would be probably better for the crepe myrtle to transplant it at that time than it would be this fall. Yes.
Okay. Also, Russian sage or salvia, what is the best time to plant them against my fence, spring or fall? I was thinking spring because it gets more water.
Well, the sage is a tough plant, so you could plant that in the fall, too. I mean, if you wanted to do it, you know, this fall, get it out there early, and that way the roots will get well established over the winter, you know. But if you wanted to wait till spring, do it early spring, but you can plant sage actually this fall.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Our next question comes from Sheila. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I am wanting to get rid of winter creeper.
Winter creeper.
Okay. So
you're going to have to dig it up.
Well, you can, yeah, you can spray, but, you know, inevitably you probably are going to have to just physically remove it.
So if I was going, we have a fair amount in our yard. If I was going to use the spray, what would you suggest?
Well, that would be tough because you're, you know, if you're killing the, you know, the euonymus, the winter creeper, you would have to use, you know, a non-selective post-emergent, like, you know, Roundup, maybe even mixed with something else, a broadleaf maybe. So that would also kill most of the grass or kill the grass. So
is it in a bed or is it creeping into your lawn?
She said
our lawn, and it's all over our fence.
Yeah, you're going to have to take the good one with the bad on that in the lawn area if you want to, you know, really kill it and spray it. Otherwise, you're just going to have to physically remove it because that's a tough one. I mean, it's all wiry and... And you're going to have to really dig it out because it'll come back if you don't get it all out of there.
Right.
And it's hard spraying it, actually, too. I mean, you know, it will respond, but it's, you know, with that waxy coating on the leaf, it's just it's a tough one to kill. I do think, you know, one other thing, like even on the fence, you know, you could cut it really low and pull as much as you can off the fence and get that cleaned up. And then as it starts to regrow back, you could treat the young leaves, you know, with the post-emergent, and it'd be more effective because they're not as hard to kill that way, you know, when they're brand new soft leaves.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Sheila. Is winter creeper considered invasive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a you know, viney, you know, people.
Sounds invasive by the name.
Yeah, but it's a euonymus, so it's a tough, you know, the burning bush is in the euonymus family and everything. But it's very invasive, and it's a hard vine to get rid of, and it just grows everywhere.
Just keeps on creeping.
Yeah, keeps on creeping.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Up next for Robert and Jeff, we have Rob. What is your question on the Garden Hotline? Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Yep, you're up next.
Hey, I have a couple of oak trees in my backyard that are probably 40 to 50 feet tall and 4 to 5 feet. In the lower trunk, they both seem to have a lot of what I'm told are oak galls. These hard balls that are constantly dropping, and small bits of limb and leaves coming down. Also, is there anything that can or needs to be done about those?
Rob, that is a tough situation, and unfortunately it's a common situation, but that is very hard to control chemically. I know there are some new treatments out there that people are working on, and hopefully there'll be, you know, in the not too distant future, a better treatment for it. Truly, right now, there's not a lot that can help with those galls. Once they form, there's really nothing that can be done. Eventually, what will happen, you know, the gall gets big enough, and that forms when a wasp-like or a type of wasp stings the stem, and it lays eggs in there, and that's the woody gall is the reaction of the tree to the wasp. And then eventually the gall will strangle off the flow of, you know, water and nutrients to the outer part of the twig, and the twig will break off and fall like you're describing. They'll fall off. A mild infestation really doesn't cause much concern, but over time, I've seen that there's some that where I disagree with some articles that say it's not fatal, you know, because I've seen some severely infested both pin oaks and shingle oaks that, you know, I'm pretty sure that eventually the gall just killed too much of the green leaves and the tree died. You know, so it's tough. Mm.
Okay. These trees look pretty healthy. They're all green, and a few small dead outer branches. So do I need to worry about them?
Rob, I don't think, like you're describing there, there's a whole lot that you can do. You know, there's some evidence that maybe even like a dormant oil application really early in the spring, you know, that works where, you know, you might suffocate some egg cases or keep that wasp away. But, you know, like spraying it with a topical insecticide, the timing on that would just probably be just, you'd never get it quite right. It just doesn't seem to do much good, you know. So anyway, that's what I know.
Not a new problem, but
you know, one thing too, Rob, to consider is also just if you've never fed the trees, you know, you might want to do that. And you know, anytime you can feed the tree, like in the dormant root feeding, and you know, it will help it push out a lot of good new growth next year, and just try to keep the tree in good general health, you know, as much as you can.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. Your last chance to get questions in for this Saturday morning is coming up with Robert and Jeff, so stay tuned, and if you have a question, call in. Back on the Garden Hotline, we're going to do a little lightning round here, see if we can get through as many calls as possible. Let's start with Angela. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a miniature Japanese maple, and it's starting to look more and more like it's sick. It's got bare spots, and do I just need to fertilize it, or is it diseased?
Are you getting, like, dieback on it?
Yes.
Yeah, just trim all that out. Make sure that's one thing about those cut-leaf Japanese maples. They do dieback a lot. And then, like, in the spring, after it drops all its leaves, you'll see, like, the dead branches. Get all those out of there. And okay. That'll send more energy toward the good branches. But and that's one thing. It's probably starting to look like Cousin It in the
yeah.
So you want to kind of clean that up and get it less dense and get some more air, you know, through that. You do some thinning of it, not pruning, but thinning of the tree itself. And just don't be afraid to trim that, you know, go back to a stem and trim it back and everything. But sometimes they get almost too thick, and you want to get kind of thin those out and get some more air movement through that plant.
I have been afraid to do that because I had one that did actually die. So what can I do to feed it or fertilize it?
Oh, just any general, you know, root tone.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get those Job stakes and put, you know, cut them, break them up and put those around the trunk of the tree, you know, the drip line of the tree, not the trunk. But, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Angela. Mm-hmm. Up next, we have Donna. Donna, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I heard you tell an earlier caller about not to transplant a crepe myrtle. But I have a situation. I do have a dwarf crepe that I have to move, and because I wanted to put a boxwood in that spot. The boxwood is in a pot from the nursery. So what should I do? Should I not transplant the crepe right now and wait till spring to put the boxwood in the ground, or what do you recommend?
I would recommend, you know, if you can do it soon, go ahead and move it. What I was getting at with the crepe myrtle earlier, rather than transplanting it late in the fall, then they're kind of compromised where they don't have any roots that are, you know, really growing in the ground, you know. I mean, so if you do it now, it should root back out and hopefully be fine, you know, going through the winter.
All right. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Moving along. Jeannie, your question on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I've got a situation where I've seen a lot of, I think it's spotted spurge. And it's growing everywhere. And it's in the lawn. Any ideas about what I can do with that?
Yeah, Jeannie, just it needs a treatment with broadleaf, weed killer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you're just going to do it yourself, like, Weed Be Gone type product is really what you need. A spray would be better than a granular type product at this point.
Okay. I haven't seen it before, so I'm very,
It's really out there right now.
Yeah, it's popping up everywhere right now.
Weeds in general are really bad. Like we were saying, the upside, all the water, everything's nice and green and lush, but there are just a lot of weed pressure right now.
Yeah, there are too many for me to pick out, so.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. You too, Carrie. Cynthia, you are up next.
Oh, good. Okay, I got the a tree that I planted, and I thought it was one of the little small weeping red Chinese things, that are
a little Japanese maple.
Yeah. Thank you. But I got to reading the. I planted it in my flower bed, and I want to replant, move it out in the yard, because it said on there that it could grow up to 8 foot, so it's not what I thought it was, mm-hmm. right? So, anyway, can I do that this fall?
Yeah, wait till it drops all its leaves and goes dormant, and then you could transplant it.
All right, that would be the last question of the day for Jeff and Robert from Horseman Brothers. Guys, thanks so much. We had a good time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We enjoyed it. Yeah.
Beautiful weekend. Hope you enjoy the weather. And tune in next week to the Garden Hotline and the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Maybe once a week or so.
Yeah, but may not be enough, certainly, if it was, okay. Either way, it
well,
might.
What about if I got some, a Miracle-Gro topsoil and then kind of blended it in there with it? Because I've been thinking about doing that. Maybe
any organic would be great, if you can get, incorporate that in there. But, okay. Fall seeding is definitely better than spring seeding. You're always going to be tough doing a spring seeding on a bare ground.
Because, yeah, and in the spring, it came up good.
Yeah.
And then it started fading, and it got the pale green.
Yeah.
And then it turned brown, and then that's it,
Yeah. Incorporate some good organic in there, and then do a fall seeding, and you should have better luck with it.
Would a fertilizer help, like a grass,
Yeah. Put a starter fertilizer in with it, and if you go to one of the box stores, it'll say starter fertilizer. You know, a 12-12 is a good one.
I'll try getting some grass seed in it. I guess pretty quick, or wait till 1st of September. Or?
Well, if it's brown now, you could do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah,
it's fine.
All right. Good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. We are going to continue with your phone calls and questions at 314-436-7900 for Robert and Jeff from the Horseman Brothers after a short break. So stay with us. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Good morning. Glad to have you in. Taking your questions are Robert and Jeff from the Horseman Brothers. Let's get back to the phones. It's 314-436-7900. Kathy, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for doing the show. I have a question about lavender. I need to know when I should cut it back. It needs to be shaped and cut.
What do you guys think?
Well, is it getting real big and leggy right now?
Yeah. It's getting out of shape.
So it's a hardy plant, so you can really cut that back now if you want to start cleaning it up a little bit. And it's probably getting real stringy and stuff at the bottom.
Right.
You can start cleaning that up now. And it's early enough still. It may send up some more shoots too.
Or should I wait till all the shoots? Well, see, it's still got some on there.
You could maybe clean up some of the bottom branches that are kind of getting.
Okay, that's mainly.
Just kind of clean up the bottom of it, and then you know leave that upper growth going for a little while. But yeah, if it's unsightly and stuff, yeah, you can clean that back up now.
Okay, another question, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have irises. I used to call these ones, the tall ones, flags, but they call them iris.
Right.
But, okay, then I have some that I got that are called rebloomers.
Mm-hmm.
And so now those, they say, I don't ever cut the leaves back on those because they're going to rebloom for me.
Right.
So now they're getting, one's getting over, you know, too many of them. So I need to thin those out. And so I'm wondering, I know I have to wait till after they bloom in the fall. I guess that they would be treated just like an iris then, right?
Right. Yeah. Don't do anything to them now.
Wait on them now. They finish blooming, but it will be late because they usually don't start reblooming until the end of almost September and August, you know.
Right, but I would just let those go. I don't think I would mess with those right now, those rebloomers.
No, well, that's what I mean. Do you ever thin them out?
Absolutely. And that good time for that would be spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you can, because they're so, they sit up on the ground so high.
Well, they bloom again in spring for me, though, so.
Well, you can still separate them. I mean, early spring, like.
Right, when you start coming up.
Yeah, before they start coming up.
So they're always up. I mean, the leaves, how can I say this? I never, you know how you always cut back the iris and make them.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I don't do that to these at all.
No, but if you want to separate them, you're going to have to do it at some point, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then you would cut the leaves off and then separate like you do the
iris. And then they'll come back up. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to take all your time, but do you know anything about perennial geranium that I put in the ground? And it's beautiful in the spring, but it never reflowers again after that.
No, they don't. No, that they're just a one-timer. Yeah. And then
the
perennial geranium will only bloom the one time, and then it'll save its energy for next year. But, they only bloom the one time. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good questions. Good answers there. And let's continue with the phone calls at 314-436-7900. It's always nice to have a rose on a garden show. Rose, you're up next.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Two questions real fast. When can I have a crepe myrtle, huge. I've had it for over 10 years. Can I dig that up in the spring and just move it 5 feet over one way, and will it still live?
Rose, you know, yes, spring would be probably better for the crepe myrtle to transplant it at that time than it would be this fall. Yes.
Okay. Also, Russian sage or salvia? What is the best time to plant them against my fence, spring or fall? I was thinking spring because it gets more water.
Well, the sage is a tough, tough plant. So you could plant that in the fall, too. I mean, if you wanted to do it, you know, this fall, get it out there early. And that way the roots will get well established over the winter, you know. But if you wanted to wait till spring, do it early spring. But you can plant sage actually this fall.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Our next question comes from Sheila. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I am wanting to get rid of winter creeper.
Winter creeper.
Okay. So
you're going to have to dig it up.
Well, you can, yeah, you can spray, and but, you know, inevitably you probably are going to have to just physically remove it.
So if I was going, we have a fair amount in our yard. If I was going to use the spray, what would you suggest?
Well, that would be tough because you're, you know, if you're killing the, you know, the euonymus, the winter creeper, you would have to use, you know, a non-selective post-emergent, like, you know, Roundup, maybe even mixed with something else, a broadleaf maybe. So that would also kill most of the grass or kill the grass. So
is it in a bed or is it creeping into your lawn?
She said
our lawn, and it's all over our fence.
Yeah, you're going to have to take the good one with the bad on that in the lawn area if you want to, you know, really kill it and spray it. Otherwise, you're just going to have to physically remove it because that's a tough one. I mean, it's all wiry and you're going to have to really dig it out because it'll come back if you don't get it all out of there.
Right,
and
right.
It's hard spraying it, actually, too. I mean, you know, right. it will respond, but it's, you know, with that waxy right. coating on the right. leaf, it's just, it's a tough one to kill. I do think, you know, one other thing, like even on the fence, you know, you could cut it really low and pull as much as you can off the fence and get that cleaned up. And then as it starts to regrow back, you could treat the young leaves, you know, with the post-emergent, and it'd be more effective because they're not as hard to kill that way, you know, when they're brand new soft leaves.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Sheila. Is winter creeper considered invasive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a you know, viney, you know, people.
It sounds invasive by the name.
But it's a euonymus, so it's a tough, you know, the burning bush is in the euonymus family and everything. But it's very invasive, and it's a hard vine to get rid of, and it just grows everywhere.
Just keeps on creeping.
Yeah, keeps on creeping.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Up next for Robert and Jeff, we have Rob. What is your question on the Garden Hotline? Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Yep, you're up next.
Hey, I have a couple of oak trees in my backyard that are probably 40 to 50 feet tall and 4 to 5 feet. In the lower trunk. They both seem to have a lot of what I'm told are oak galls, these hard balls that are constantly dropping, and small bits of limb and leaves coming down also. Is there anything that can or needs to be done about those?
Rob, that is a tough situation, and unfortunately it's a common situation, but that is very hard to control chemically. I know there are some new treatments out there that people are working on, and hopefully there'll be, you know, in the not too distant future, a better treatment for it. Truly, right now, there's not a lot that can help with those galls. Once they form, there's really nothing that can be done. Eventually, what will happen, that, you know, the gall gets big enough, and that forms when a wasp, like, or a type of wasp stings the stem, and it lays eggs in there, and that's the woody gall is the reaction of the tree to the wasp. And then eventually the gall will strangle off the flow of, you know, water and nutrients to the outer part of the twig, and the twig will break off and fall like you're describing. They'll fall off. A mild infestation really doesn't cause much concern, but over time, I've seen that there's some that where I disagree with some articles that say it's not fatal, you know, because I've seen some severely infested both pen oaks and shingle oaks that, you know, I'm pretty sure that eventually the gall just killed too much of the green leaves and the tree died. You know, so it's tough. Mm.
Okay. These trees look pretty healthy. They're all green, and a few small dead outer branches. So do I need to worry about them?
Rob, I don't think, like you're describing there, there's a whole lot that you can do. You know, there's some evidence that maybe even like a dormant oil application really early in the spring, you know, that works where, you know, you might suffocate some egg cases or keep that wasp away. But, you know, like spraying it with a topical insecticide, the timing on that would just probably be just, you'd never get it quite right. It just doesn't seem to do much good, you know. So anyway, that's what I know.
Not a new problem, but
you know, one thing too, Rob, to consider is also just if you've never fed to trees, you know, you might want to do that. And you know, anytime you can feed the tree, like in the dormant root feeding, and you know, it will help it push out a lot of good new growth next year, and just try to keep the tree in good general health, you know, as much as you can.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. Your last chance to get questions in for this Saturday morning is coming up with Robert and Jeff, so stay tuned, and if you have a question, call in. Back on the Garden Hotline, we're going to do a little lightning round here, see if we can get through as many calls as possible. Let's start with Angela. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a miniature Japanese maple, and it's starting to look more and more like it's sick. It's got bare spots, and do I just need to fertilize it, or is it diseased?
Are you getting, like, dieback on it?
Yes.
Yeah, just trim all that out. Make sure, that's one thing about those cut-leaf Japanese maples. They do dieback a lot. And then, like, in the spring, after it drops all its leaves, you'll see, like, the dead branches. Get all those out of there. And okay. That'll send more energy toward the good branches. But and that's one thing. It's probably starting to look like Cousin It in the
yeah.
So you want to kind of clean that up and get it less dense and get some more air, you know, through that. You do some thinning of it, not pruning, but thinning of the tree itself. And just don't be afraid to trim that. You know, go back to a stem and trim it back and everything. But sometimes they get almost too thick, and you want to get kind of thin those out and get some more air movement through that plant.
I have been afraid to do that because I had one that did actually die. So what can I do to feed it or fertilize it?
Oh, just any general, you know, root tone.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get those Job stakes and put, you know, break them up and put those around the trunk of the tree, you know, the drip line of the tree, not the trunk. But, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Angela. Up next, we have Donna. Donna, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I heard you tell an earlier caller about not to transplant a crepe myrtle, but I have a situation. I do have a dwarf crepe that I have to move. And because I wanted to put a boxwood in that spot. The boxwood is in a pot from the nursery. So what should I do? Should I not transplant the crepe right now and wait till spring to put the boxwood in the ground? Or what do you recommend?
I would recommend, you know, if you can do it soon, go ahead and move it. What I was getting at with the crepe myrtle earlier, rather than transplanting it late in the fall, then they're kind of compromised where they don't have any roots that are, you know, really growing in the ground, you know. I mean, so if you do it now, it should root back out and hopefully be fine, you know, going through the winter.
All right. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Moving along. Jeannie, your question on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I've got a situation where I've seen a lot of, I think it's spotted spurge. And it's growing everywhere, and it's in the lawn. Any ideas about what I can do with that?
Yeah, Jeannie, just it needs a treatment with broadleaf, you know, weed killer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you're just going to do it yourself, like, you know, Weed Be Gone type product is really what you need. A spray would be better than a granular type product at this point.
Okay. I haven't seen it before, so I'm very, you know.
It's really out there right now.
Yeah, it's popping up everywhere right now.
Weeds in general are really bad. Like we were saying, the upside, all the water, everything's nice and green and lush, but there are just a lot of weed pressure right now.
Yeah, there are too many for me to pick out. So.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Carrie. Cynthia, you are up next.
Oh, good. Okay, I got the a tree that I planted, and I thought it was one of the little small weeping red Chinese things, you know, that are
a little Japanese maple. Yeah.
Thank you. But I got to reading the. I planted it in my flower bed, and I want to replant, you know, move it out in the yard, because it said on there that it could grow up to 8 foot, so it's not one of what I thought it was, mm-hmm. right? So, anyway, can I do that this fall?
Yeah, like, wait till it drops all its leaves and goes dormant, and then you could transplant it.
All right, that would be the last question of the day for Jeff and Robert from Horseman Brothers. Guys, thanks so much. We had a good time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We enjoyed it. Yeah.
Beautiful weekend. Hope you enjoy the weather. And tune in next week to the Garden Hotline and the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.